Your martial arts movie podcast.
I threw that shit before I walked in the room.
Featuring drunken Thai boxer Will.
Too bad you will die.
The also drunken wrestler Mark.
I said I don't want trouble.
And drunken karate master Zero.
You've lost your boss.
And now,
call.
I know kung fu.
You know, baby.
Fists of Fail.
Happy Halloween! Yeah, how are we topping Human Lantern, Zero? How did you think it would be even possible that we'd find a better horror movie for Halloween than Human Lanterns? A movie that is so cursed that it had all the technical difficulties.
Right. In terms of maybe sheer horror, Human Lanterns is a little hard to top. If the title doesn't give it away, that movie can be pretty, not horrible in the sense that it's bad, but the subject matter is pretty gruesome. I think one scene of the movie we're talking about does come pretty close in terms of absolutely terrifying.
Oh god.
if you can imagine what I'm talking about.
Yeah. Well, what are we talking about today?
Encounters of the Spooky Kind 2. A sequel to the original Encounters of the Spooky Kind, very very famous martial arts comedy horror film from Sammo Hung. I never hear people talking about this, actually, and it's kind of a shame because I really like this movie.
I agree. I completely agree. So much so that I think I like this more than the first.
Oh, I would definitely say that as well.
Yeah. I actually look back on Encounters of the Spooky Kind 1, and it's an okay film. It's, you know, Sammo, you know, on the side has mentioned that he is a fan of horror movies. And, you know, again, maybe it's not his expertise in terms of making horror movies. But, you know, the first movie felt like an amateurish attempt, you know, like not to be derogative or anything like that. But, you know, it wasn't really too much of a horror film. This movie is definitely more like that. It's definitely more in moving into the horror territory because... I generally think that the movie just succeeds in much more in areas that the original just did not.
Yeah, I can definitely see that. And this movie adds so many horror monsters and elements to it.
Yeah.
It's definitely a sequel that is going more, you know, bigger, better, and whatnot. In terms of fights, maybe a little more as well, right?
Like, yeah, no, I definitely.
Yeah, I can't remember the first one now that I'm thinking about it. I should have like listened to that episode before we did it. I think the only thing that the first one does bigger than this sequel is maybe the fiery ending.
No, technically, yeah, maybe it's bigger in the first one, but there's a fiery ending
to this
movie,
too.
Well,
that's what I mean, yeah.
Yeah. Encounters of Spooky Kind 2 obviously has Sammo Hung in it, but this also has Lam Ching Ying, from the Mr. Vampire series, and that is obviously not a coincidence. This is directed by Ricky Lau, who also made Mr. Vampire. So there's obviously a connection there, and you know, Sammo and Lam had a, you know, they're pretty close friends, so it just made sense for them to collaborate. But the thing about this movie is that it's not really a sequel. It has nothing to do with the first movie, obviously.
Yeah.
And the only, you know, this is called Encounters of Spooky Kind 2 because, you know, that's how they're marketed to the West, but the Chinese characters, they're just kind of similar to one another. They're not, it's more like a play on words. It's like they share the same characters, but they're not technically related in any ways. Mm. Plus, this movie came out 10 years later, so...
Right.
It's not like... I wouldn't really consider it a sequel in any sense. So, when you think like, oh, is the second movie better than the first movie? It's like, well, technically they're not even really related if you really think about it. Yeah, but yeah, as a horror movie, I generally think it's better, and we're not just talking about Sammo being swarmed in
insects.
Well, do we want insects? Yeah, they, you know, I don't know how else to you know, elaborate on that. It's disgusting, and kudos to Sammo for going the extra mile, because that is, it just goes on and on.
Oh God! So that scene. And it's okay that we can verbally spoil it, because you need to see it to really believe it. Because Sammo Hung is covered in cockroaches, and it is chilling. If you don't like bugs, and especially us as New Yorkers who fucking hate cockroaches, to see a grown man covered head to toe in these insects...
Yeah.
To the point that it kills him from shock is, it's an amazing scene. Because the actor commits to it, and you're just like, oh my God, this poor man is just, what he's doing for entertainment, you know, bless his soul.
Exactly, bless his soul. It's quite the commitment. Maybe just overdid it a little bit, but hey, you know, I appreciate the effort from Sammo. Even when you just see the roaches just crawling over his eyelids, it's like, wow, he's really, really selling it. But we're jumping the gun. We haven't even talked about anything about the movie yet. What is Encounters of the Spooky Kind about, Zero?
Oh, man.
Or do you want me to do this?
The story's... The movie's pretty simple to sit through, but it kind of does jump around a little bit. Like, the basic premise is Sammo Hung and Meng Hoi, they are students of Lam Ching Ying. And Sammo is engaged to this woman, but he's kind of like a poor man. So the father says, like, oh, you need to make money in order to really marry my daughter. So he kind of gives him a time frame. And so Sammo decides to open a food stall. That's one of the plot points. And there is this really, really weaselly, conniving guy played by
Man Cheng Lam,
who is constantly flirting with Sammo Hung's... fiance, and he's just essentially the villain of the movie. He has a black magic priest friend, and they're basically just antagonizing Sammo the whole movie. It's a constant back and forth.
Oh yeah.
And then they also befriend a friend, a female ghost, who also serves a bigger like plot point in the movie as well. Like, It's a little hard for me to explain, because it does jump around a little bit, but when you watch it, you're just like, oh, okay, yeah, this, you know, they're just going from point A to B to C to D to E, you know, until they get to the end. Like, now that I'm thinking about describing it, it kind of goes all over the place.
Yeah, I just realized that I'm like, oh yeah, the movie is simple, and then explaining it is way harder than actually just sitting through it. It's a relatively, you know, enjoyable watch. The movie opens by subverting your expectations. It makes you think it's going to be a vampire movie, and it's not.
Oh my God. I completely forgot about that. they throw in all the movie monsters. It does open with the hopping vampire sequence, which is probably, with the exception to the cockroach scene, is probably the most horror scary stuff going on. They play it pretty straightforward, because they're being terrorized in this small little haunted house by these, you know, these two jumping vampires, and it's just a dream sequence. It doesn't really serve any point other than adding like atmosphere and maybe padding the runtime a little bit.
It could only be one of two things. It could have been a dream sequence, or could have been a flashback, because it just it's a hard opening. It's like, when you have no context of what's happening, Sammo and his fiance are running away, and they're suddenly vampires. And it's like, what where's the story? And then you realize it's a dream sequence. So this is not really a spoiler. It's just like it. You find that out pretty much right away when you start the movie up. But yeah, everything after that is everything you explained just now about the genuinely annoying dickbag of a character played by Lam Man Chung. You obviously want to see him, get what's coming to him.
Oh, yeah, that movie. That actor does the annoying, like conniving Weasley guy so well.
Rapey. Yeah.
He's got this face you want to punch. Like, he's great. Great acting from that guy, because you want to see him go down. I don't know if I could say he gets what's coming him at the end in the best way, but the whole move, like the whole beginning of the movie, when they set him up, when I was watching this again, I thought, okay, like, is this still gonna flow very well? And when you're introduced to his character and then his black magic priest friend, you're just like, oh man, like, I really want those guys to go down, because they're just such weasels. That I was like, okay, yeah, this is written really well. And one of the things I notice is you really like all the characters in this movie.
Besides the villains. Besides the villains. Do a really good job. Right. I mean, like, at least they fleshed them out, too. Like, yeah, they're hateable characters purposefully.
Right.
You know? I think the movie is just genuinely, it has a lot of heart to it.
Yes.
When you, even the ghost character who just kind of, like, comes in.
Well, I was going to say, like, she kind of gets wedged into the movie, but then, you know, you sympathize with her. They do a really, really good job at weaving these characters, like, personal lives together, and you just like everyone. So I was pleasantly surprised by all that.
Yeah. And then even little side stories or side conflicts, like Lam Ching Ying coming into terms of, him being a priest of sorts, so he wants to it's his duty to exorcise the ghosts. But he has to come to relatively quickly this conclusion that, like, oh, maybe I shouldn't do it to this one girl after an epic fight scene. And I guess on that note, how are the fights in the movie? I mean, what were your thoughts, Zero?
They're not bad. They're just different, because this is the 90s now, and, this is technically modern choreography. I feel that some of the fights are actually really, really interesting. And they're the ones that are not really martial arts choreography based. Like, I love the astral projection fight that happens between the two priests. Like, that is so fun. It's two men who are not in the same room. They're fighting each other. So it's a combination of special effects. It's a combination of practical effects. And then the editing is helping to just show that these two men are, like, are physically hurting each other when they're nowhere near each other. Like, I thought that was, like, a really, really cleverly done fight.
It's so creative. Like, that's definitely, that was the one moment of the movie that, like, surprised me more than any other, that one particular fight that we're both referencing. But I'd say, in general, the special effects in the movie, they range from, like, okay to like surprisingly good throughout the whole film. So I think generally speaking, the fighting, the choreography is just okay. When I really take one step back, but it's highlighted by the supernatural elements that are happening. There's a lot of mysticism and a lot of fire, like lasers coming out people's fingers, and explosions, ghosts flying in, astral projecting into a body, leaving a body. It's like, okay, well, it's more complicated.
Yeah,
and a lot more supernatural.
Right, that was the kind of stuff I like too. When the ghost is possessing, in one of the later fights, the ghost is possessing Samo's body, but then getting pushed out by the priest, and they're making fight choreography out of that. Like, that was clever. Like, there's lots of really neat ideas. But when it comes to physical hand-to-hand exchanges, it's not doing anything noteworthy. But it's still fun because the premises behind the fight are entertaining.
Yeah. And well, I mean, for a movie like this, it doesn't really need to spend too much time on creating these overly elaborate fight choreography sequences. And not to say that the movie doesn't have them. I noticed that they do spring up here and there. But it really is all about the supernatural elements that are sprinkled throughout. And I'm actually surprised by the quality of the effects. Say, for example, I mean, this is 1990, right? You know, like, there's a moment where one of the characters, the ghost character, she astro projects and makes a duplicate of herself. And, you know, that's easy. You know, that's actually very easy to do, like, you know, on a static camera where, you know, like, it's just split screen projection. You know, it's just one person's on one, like, it's the same person standing on both sides of the screen, but you just mash them together, you know, basically cut and paste. But the camera is moving in one of the shots, and I was actually kind of surprised that they were able to accomplish that. I mean, if you really look deep into it, like, you can see where the edit is, but I'm actually very surprised that they were able to do something like that. And that's, I guess, like, now we're entering the 90s.
Yeah, we were starting to get really like, generic green screening effects, like, in America at this mm-hmm. point. So, like, you know, you could see where it's going to start to come overseas and whatnot.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think the star of the show is, like, all the supernatural elements, which you would think, because of previous Halloween episodes we've done, it's usually a detriment, right? Sometimes we complain about, like, oh, because the supernatural elements are so overplayed or, like, so front and center, the choreography takes a hit. But no, like, this actually works in tandem with it. I think it works so well because even when there is, like a very dire situation, like, mummies are coming at you, as, like, you would think, like, it wouldn't make sense to do, you know, kung fu against mummies, but actually, you know, it still keeps the direness of the situation somehow.
Well, it's interesting because, like, this movie's interpretation of mummies are not what I thought. The mummies seem like they're encased in, like, metal wrappings because the characters are trying to fight them, you know, with metal weapons, and you just hear the clanging sound as the weapon hits the cloth. And you're like, okay, I think these are, like, metal men that are wrapped in cloth, because there's no way these mummies are that powerful. It doesn't really make any sense. But right, I love the effect that they do when they kill the mummies. Like, apparently mm-hmm. they're filled with, I don't know what it is. Like, it looks like they're dust. Filled with, like, fire extinguishers or something. Okay, because when they get impaled, you see the white smoke, you know, shooting out from the wound, and it's like, oh, that's really cool. Those are practical effects as these mummies are getting, like, thrown and tossed back.
Yeah. I mean, like that on top of, like, all the I love their weakness, but I don't want to talk about that until we get to the spoiler section. We're jumping all over the place in terms of, like, all the different kind of special effects that are in the movie. I mean, this is something I grew up with, especially growing up around Chinese media and movies, you know, television shows especially. Like, there's a lot of, like priests that will shoot lasers out of their fingers, and it's, like, become so part of Chinese pop culture, you know, Chinese media and Chinese culture, that I always found that ridiculous. And I always wonder, like, when someone who's not Chinese watches these things, like, does it look ridiculous to you, or do you just go with it, or do you question, like, why is he suddenly shooting lasers out of his fingers?
I mean, like, some of it doesn't make sense to me. So,
okay,
for example, when Sammo is fighting the vampire in the beginning, he bites his finger to draw blood, and drawing the and when he shoots the blood from his fingers, that can hurt the vampire. But then the vampire can go and suck on his fingers on the wound.
So I wonder where you're going.
Yeah, like, the vampire starts sucking on the wound to suck the blood out. But it's like, wait, I thought the blood hurts. So there's a disconnect there, right? Like, that feels like a contradiction.
You know, I I know as much as you do regarding that. I don't really know. I mean, that's obviously played for laughs. Maybe they were trying to imply like, oh, it hurt at first, but then the vampire is so strong, it doesn't matter. Yeah. I'm wondering how much of this is just lost on anyone who's like not woven into Chinese culture. But for the most part, it seems like you've got the gist of all the magical fighting.
Right. I've seen like enough of these already where I get it through context. I don't know the specifics. So to go back to what you were saying, there are a few moments where it seems a little hokey, like when Lam Xing Ying he keeps on doing finger guns at
finger bang.
Yeah, he does the finger gun bang at a candle, and it causes the flame to shoot higher. And doing that once, it's like, okay, yeah, I get it. It's like he's concentrating, I don't know, his chi, and it's causing the flame to go higher. But they repeat it over and over and over again, and so the flame keeps on going up and down, and then we have that dated sound effect to go with it.
Mm.
So mm-hmm. that's where it becomes cheesy for me, instead of maybe magical or interesting.
Yeah, I don't think that's a cultural thing. They're just playing it up because, you know, movie, and they just want to show, oh, look, he's pretty much just performing magic.
Yeah.
Or he's like Job from Arrested Development. Where did the lighter fluid come
from? Oh, and then there's another thing, which I think it's probably just, it's more of a dated aspect of the movie, where he is using a yo-yo that has the yin-yang symbol on it. And it just looks really cheesy. It's hard to take that seriously as a magical item that he's using to try and find the ghost, right? I get that's what it's doing. But when he's like making, this
around the world
or doing like the seesaw with the yo-yo, I'm like, this doesn't hold up.
All right, we're all 90s kids at one time. We know why this movie has a yo-yo fight sequence.
Right.
It's because it was early 90s, Prime's era for that. I thought it was kind of ridiculous when that happened. But again, that's an instance where I feel like, okay, that is clearly not taken from a cultural aspect. They're just doing that because yo-yos were hip and cool at the time.
I see.
They just that's the way I interpreted it. Mm-hmm. Is there anything else that seemed like that really stuck out with you in terms of like the cultural stuff?
Cultural stuff, no. Like I mean, we've been watching these movies now for a couple of years.
Oh, yeah.
Like I love the dueling priest stuff. It's just so fun. And then, I mean, you can't have one of these supernatural movies without killing animals. Well, I mean, maybe that frog was dead already. I want to assume it was, because I think that's a real frog. The character.
I don't think it was moving.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. So, well, you see guts, you see organs, and you see eggs. So, be warned if that creeps you out. But I think the star of the show in terms of really making people uncomfortable is going to be the cockroach scene. So, like. I think once you get past that, and then you see a man cut open a frog's stomach and take out the eggs, you're like, okay, I'm immune to all of this stuff now.
It stays true to the horror theme, I guess, or the Halloween thing. I mean, animal cruelty and roaches aside, I think the movie in general is a good candidate for Halloween watch, so... Before we even get to the action segment or even the recommendations, definitely go say check it out. But definitely want to break down the movie some more. So this is where you can listen to our action and story spoilers segment if you follow us on Patreon at Fist of Fail, where we're going into greater detail, basically breaking down all the action. You guys all heard this spiel before. Also we have our quick jab episodes for other movies that we have watched, maybe one of us has watched,
and mostly me
determined mostly him. Anyway,
so if you want to hear Will try to decipher a movie based solely on a trailer, then you should subscribe to us on Patreon, because there's some funny anecdotes that come from those episodes.
Right, right. We have a whole ton of those episodes. We really wanted to cull through all the movies to find some good quality ones for these full episodes. But, you know, we have a lot of backlogged movies to discuss. But on with the show. We'll talk more about Encounters of the Spooky Kind 2. Hey, guys. Thanks for listening to the podcast. We're at the point where we give our recommendations, but there's a whole wealth of audio you would be listening to here if you follow us on Patreon. There you can listen to the entire episode, including an exclusive action breakdown of the fights in the movie. But you can still support us by liking us on all the things and watch this and other episodes on YouTube with visual cues to accompany our discussion. And now on to our final thoughts. Yeah, Encounters of the Spooky Kind 2. Good movie. Very, very good movie. Very good Halloween pick. I gotta ask again, like, where were these movies a couple years back? Because, like, I feel like every year we struggle with Halloween.
Yeah, I mean, every year we're running out because, I mean, Hong Kong is the valley of the martial arts horror films, and we're just whittling away because not all of them are good. I've watched a couple martial arts horror films, and unfortunately, they just aren't up to snuff. So it's like, you know, that's where we have to choose from, but they're not always the best either. So,
yeah. I mean, we can always cover more of Steven Seagal's horror movies. Because Against the Dark, I can't, how many times have we talked about Against the Dark? All right. But yeah, Encounters of the Spooky Kind 2, very solid film. I thought it was very entertaining. There's really not a lot of lulls in the movie. In fact, I don't think there's any. Like, it's very easy to sit through. Good overall film. The characters are strong. The special effects were kind of sell it for me, because of the fact that, like, it's in that pre CGI era where, you know, like, we're still using practical effects, a little primitive obviously to today's Marvel movies, I guess. Mm-hmm. But I still look back fondly on the age of, like, practical effects, and, like, this movie's, like, a good marriage of, like, you know, doing all that while, like, staying within a confined budget. I'm very impressed with, like, the fact that they could weave in so many horror elements into the movie and, like, make it, you know, work, because, you know, Hong Kong isn't usually the place I go to for horror films. right. That's my general thoughts, but, like, I think the action, I mean, it's not the greatest, but it works within the context of the supernatural elements that are happening. So you have to take that with a grain of salt. It's not like an action extravaganza, fight extravaganza you'd see in other movies. But, you know, because there's so many supernatural things happening, and it's, you know, it is the kind of movie that it is, like, it works really well. So I generally enjoy the film, and I would.
Yeah, same thing. I mean, pretty much everything you said. I liked this movie a lot watching it. I was very entertained. I was surprised that it was a sequel just in name. I mean, not surprised, but it still works, you know. It kind of, I mean, it's just Sammo. I guess, like, Sammo could be in anything and just slap a part two and say that's the next one in the series. But, I mean, even though it's technically not a sequel, it is a name, at least here in the U.S., and I like this so much better than the first one. The first one was just okay for me. I know a lot of people hold that one in high regards. I think this should be heralded as even better, in my opinion, because, yeah, everything is just bigger, better, more monsters, definitely more fighting. Again, like, the last final fiery ending isn't as big as the original, but it still ends with somebody on fire in slow motion. So, you know, what else could you ask for? We got zombies filled with cockroaches. We have jumping vampires. We have mummies. What else? We got ghosts. And we have Snake Man, which I don't think are part of that Universal monster original lineup, but hey, maybe they need to be added somewhere.
And they have roaches.
The roaches.
They have roaches.
Zombies filled with roaches. With oh my god. Fucking nightmare.
I can't stress enough the roaches. Yeah, if you are squeamish to that, maybe skip that scene. But for the most part, yeah, you watch the movie. Just for the fact that Sammo gets covered from head to toe in cockroaches. My god. I just remember that I live in a New York City apartment, and at any moment that could happen to me too.
Well, just don't rip off anybody's head, and maybe you won't get covered. Happy Halloween!